Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having a fantastic Friday today. Weather's nice down here in Central Florida. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Well, Austin, it's about 65, 70 degrees outside with clear blue skies and no chemtrails and low humidity. I mean, if I'm not doing great today, I don't even know how to say great. I mean, it's amazing. I want to clarify. I want to say a couple things real quick. Yesterday, got a lot of feedback on the show yesterday. A lot of people really liked it. One thing you pointed out to me that you were so right on last night when I spoke to you about the show, when I was talking about when you make crossroad decisions, if you make the wrong decision and you go the wrong direction, you've got to turn around as quickly as you possibly can. You either have to make a U-turn or you have to go to another intersection and make another turn to try to get off the road you're on. And that's the decision that you need to make as quickly as possible when you find yourself going to where you don't want to go, doing what you don't want to do, living where you don't want to live, and being what you don't want to be. So that's something I wanted to share with you guys. So if you missed yesterday's show and you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, listen to the show, then that comment will make sense. This morning also, when we were doing our prayer time with the kids, I was really starting to think about limits that we put on ourselves, and I said something to the kids, and it sounded so good I told Savannah to write it down because it made a lot of sense, and I've never heard it quite put this way before. I'm going to say it on the air today so you guys can do a Ted Brower quote, and it says, God doesn't impose limits on you, so why should you impose limits on him? Isn't that pretty good?
Yeah.
God doesn't impose limits on you, so why should you impose limits on him? Now, that ties directly again into what I was talking about yesterday. The Bible says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He doesn't put limits on us. But we're always saying to God, well, God, I don't think I can do this, or I can't do that, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. You're speaking all that negative stuff all the time. And when you speak that negative stuff, you're putting that into your energy field that's around you. And that energy field around you is determining the course of your future. It's also basically changing the fabric of space-time. So when you tell God that you can't or he can't or nobody can, then guess what happens? These angels that we call ministering spirits, they have a tendency to kind of do the things we tell them to do, whether they're good or bad. So it's very important that you don't do things like self-sabotage. In other words, don't put yourself down. Don't say you can't do this. Don't say you can't get into this program. Just realize that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now also realize that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And also it says that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It also tells us that if we're praying according to God's will for our lives, that he's quick to do as we ask him to do. Now here's the reason he does that. There are a lot of things that we pray for that God knows are going to get us in trouble, period. That's what's going to happen to us. And so if we don't have the personality to deal with certain things, sometimes you have to kind of go through a growth phase in your life first before God will give you other things that you need. In other words, I've seen so many people. Let me give you an example. I had a friend of mine, I won't mention his name, from high school. I don't know if he's alive anymore, so I probably could mention his name. Gosh, it's been, you know, 50 years ago. And 40 years ago. And I remember when he got out of high school, his parents owed a bunch of duplexes. I mean, they probably owned about 20 rental properties, and they were living on the money from the duplexes. They had a home that was paid for. They had a ski boat, and they lived on the lake here in Central Florida, on one of the many lakes here. And his parents were killed in an automobile accident shortly after we graduated from high school. It was a sad situation. Both his parents were killed. So he and his sister inherited everything. Well, everything was free and clear. Everything was paid for. And I'll never forget, he started having these big parties at his house every weekend. He got him a fancier boat and built a big deck and started having people over, started running big barbecues and paying for everything. And pretty soon all the savings was gone. And they were living on the money that was coming in from the apartments. And so they decided to start selling apartments. And they started selling the apartments one by one, having their parties. And sooner or later, they ran out of apartments to sell. And pretty soon they were mortgaging their house. And pretty soon they were broke and in debt. And it was interesting to me because when all that happened and he could no longer have the big parties, Austin, all of his friends stopped coming over and they stopped visiting him. And he went through all of that cash for friends that we call pseudo friends or fake friends or false friends. And none of these people would have anything to do with him any longer after he was no longer supplying the booze and the food. Now, I've seen this so many times. So guys, that's why I'm saying sometimes when you pray for certain things, God knows that you need to grow a little bit more before you get those things. And so he may put you in his waiting room. Not that he's not going to do those things for you, but he may need to tweak you a little bit. You know, you may be a project that needs tweaking. the old line out of you got mail that I've had to watch with my wife so many times. And what's it's funny is that's the truth. Sometimes we have things that just need tweaking that God's got to clean us up on. You know, I mean, here I am in my 60s doing my talk show. You know, I would have loved to have done my talk show back in my 30s or my 40s, and I probably should have, but maybe I needed tweaking before we got started on this. So, guys, always allow God to tweak you. Now, one story I'm going to start with, Austin. The other day we found a guy, a surgeon, in his hotel room up there in his home up in the Chicago area with a knife in his gut. And I want to talk about this for a second. Now, I have vetted this repeatedly, and I've got off multiple websites because it seemed so bizarre to me. It was difficult to believe that this is the reason this guy died. But if you guys remember, the other day I said this guy was not an alternative physician, so I don't know why he's getting labeled in doctors that are being killed who are alternative physicians, which is the number now supposedly 81, but not all of these guys are alternative physicians. But here's what this guy was involved with. This is what I've read, and this is what I've vetted to this point. I'm not saying I'm 100% right on this, but I'm telling you what multiple blogs have said now. The surgeon who exposed the Clinton Foundation corruption in Haiti found dead. That's who this guy was. The doctor from Clinton's emails found dead with a knife in his chest. Dr. Lorick exposed the corrupt Haiti relief fund. Celebrity surgeon Dr. Dean Lorick was found dead last Sunday, December the 10th, with a knife to his chest. Police sources claimed that it appears that he killed himself, though there was no suicide note. I mean, he's a doctor. He's not going to stick a knife in his chest. Dr. Lorick had been in the news previously for treating several celebrities. He was also part of the medical team put together by Hillary Clinton associates to work in Haiti after the 2010 earthquake. Now, there's some things here that were actually released about what he had said. He said, this is one of his quotes, supposedly, we found scores of patients in Haiti with pus dripping out of openly extremity fractures and crush injuries. Some wounds were already ridden with maggots. About a third of the victims were children. The entire hospital smelled of infected rotting limbs. In our naivety, we didn't expect that the two anesthesia machines would not work. There would be only one cautery available in the hospital. Now, what he also went on to say was that the money coming in from the Clinton Foundation never showed up. So suddenly this doctor who was involved in all of this is found with a knife stuck in his chest. I just thought I'd update you on that particular one. So this Clinton body count, Austin, this close to 200 people now who have been around these people found dead is crazy to me. Now, guys, I'm going to say something. I don't know anybody who hangs around somebody down here in Central Florida who's got a body count around them. I just don't know that. I mean, if you're hanging out with somebody, everybody start dying around you, around that person, you kind of figure out very quickly, you just need to avoid that person. And quite frankly, that's exactly what I would do if I knew the Clintons. I would stay away from them as far as I possibly could because, guys, these people are evil to the core. Yesterday I spoke to a man who was friends with a Secret Service agent and who also had an uncle who was a three-star admiral in the military, and basically he told him, he said that when he was in the military, he couldn't talk about the Clintons, but he said that Bill and Hillary Clinton, both of them, were two of the meanest human beings that he had ever met, and he wanted nothing to do with them, and everybody tried to stay away from them, and that's why so many of the Secret Service personnel who were with George H. in the White House asked to go with George H. rather than stay on the White House duty when the Clintons came into office. And I know that personally because I spoke to these agents personally when I was on the seminar circuit with President Bush back in the 90s. And quite frankly, these guys all agreed that the Clintons were like a nightmare, especially Hillary, because she did not have a curse word that she did not love, and she used it regularly. And both of them stayed drunk literally every night with parties constantly in the White House. So, guys, yeah, I'm so glad we all dodged a bullet, not putting those nutbags back in the White House. What do you think about this, Austin, and what's your first story?
Man, it doesn't surprise me at all. I remember I brought that up, I think, last week with that doctor because that was such a bizarre story to me. And, yes, he was, you know, a naturopath, and we've discussed that, but it was such a strange coincidence that this guy decides to kill himself with a knife into his chest. Nobody does that, especially if you're a doctor. If you're wanting to do that, why won't you just go get a bunch of sleeping pills and morphine or something or write your own script for it? You don't have to sit there and kill yourself in such an unbelievably violent way and then bleed out on the floor. So that makes a lot of sense now because we have heard from numerous sources that the money that was supposedly going down to Haiti through the Clinton Foundation never showed up.
That's right.
I have a very good friend of mine that I have known for years that I actually went to college with. He's gone down to Haiti numerous times on missions trips, and he said that every time they tried to get more funding and more funding, essentially not just the Clinton Foundation, but multiple different foundations would say, okay, we're sending more aid, okay, we're sending more supplies, okay, we're sending this stuff, and the stuff would just never show up. They would call in about it. They would write in emails about it. They'd send in contact forms and say, hey, what's going on? We're done. This stuff's delayed. We're not getting it. Oh, it's already been shipped. It's on the way. You guys should have it shortly. Never showed up. That's why, if you remember, so many people started personally shipping and bringing stuff down there on their person when they were going down there on missions trips, if you knew anybody that was down there, because literally supplies from all these foundations never sent the product that they said they were going to do. They took in hundreds of millions of dollars in donations and kept it all for themselves, like greedy, greedy little Satanists that they are. So that's exactly what, in my opinion, has happened with that doctor. Who knows what other stuff he may have been involved in or he may have known. And so obviously was one of those, in my opinion, he just doesn't need to be around anymore. These guys, the Clintons, they have no value on life. You have to understand that. So it's nothing to have somebody put down. But also, too, in other news that I really wanted to touch base on today, because remember I told you guys on Wednesday that I talked to one of my buddies who's retired Army, and I asked him about the concealed carry reciprocity bill that was basically getting voted on this week. And I said I was kind of excited about it at first, and he told me his side of it just from the basis and the idea of the feds coming in and being able to control what states can and can't carry in the future was his biggest concern. Well, now Michael Snyder just issued an article today that goes into even more detail on not just that, but the effects of what a secondary bill they added into the reciprocity bill.
There
now,
you go.
He said, with news that a concealed carry reciprocity law was passed by the U.S. House, gun owners all over the nation rejoiced. You know, a lot of them did. He said the problem is the bill has been completely poisoned with a subsection called FICS, N-I-C-S, which, if you guys know, whenever you go to buy a firearm from an FFL dealer, you have to go and basically do a background check, and it goes through the National Instant Criminal Background Check System that basically is determining people buying firearms and so forth, and it makes sure that they're not, you know, convicted felons and they're, you know, they haven't been arrested multiple times for murder, stuff like that. It's very simple system. I'm not a huge fan of it, but this is what they added in here now to fix the NICS. So Republicans rammed the bill through the House on Wednesday that would make it easier for gun owners to legally carry concealed weapons across state lines. The House approved the bill 231 to 198, but it turns out that a change was inserted into the bill at the last moment that many lawmakers never read. It's the same thing they did in 1996 with the Hughes Amendment and the Firearm Owners Protection Act that literally had a couple good things in it. And at the very, very end in it, they added the clause of the Hughes Amendment that made it illegal for any civilian to purchase or manufacture a machine gun that was Class 3 registered after 1986, pretty much completely banning civilian ownership of anything after 1986, turning everything pre-86 into massive, massively expensive machine guns. This is what they're starting to do with this now. The bill contained an 11th-hour change to help states and agencies enter such data as criminal and domestic violent convictions into the National Instant Criminal Background Check System for gun purchases. That's what they said it was for. So what they're saying is it's going to help states and agencies add this stuff to the NICS to make it more accurate when people go to buy a gun. The problem is 99% of the time this stuff is already added to the system, but now much more stuff is going to go to the system that's going to immediately flag you and prevent you from buying a firearm. Representative Louie Gohman out of Texas explained on Wednesday that he would not support the national reciprocity because House leadership added the gun control expansion of Fix NICS to it. It is a measure brought in by the one and only Dianne Feinstein and Chris Murphy. They said they're doing it in response to the Air Force's failure to report Devin Kelly's criminal history by expanding the number of people who will be barred from gun possession going forward. Now, stop right there. This they're referring to is the Texas church shooting. Horrible shooting with the Air Force guy that was dishonorably discharged from the Army or from the Air Force and went and bought an AR-15 legally, supposedly, that's the story they tell us, and then went and shot up the church. First off, it was the Air Force's responsibility from the very beginning to disclose to the NICS that he had been dishonorably discharged. They failed to do so. So adding in a bill that's going to cause further issues and prevent more people from owning firearms called Fix NICS has nothing to do with Air Force negligence at all. Let me go on here. So he goes, exactly how many people could be barred from gun possessions going forward? Well, according to the Gun Owners of America, even people with unpaid traffic tickets could be banned from owning guns under this bill. The goal of the Feinstein bill is to force every single potential NICS name to be sent to the FBI's NICS system and to be categorized in so different ways. The problem with that, because of the isolated story of the Air Force negligence, there are lists essentially making every American citizen get flagged for issues. If you probably already know, Fix NICS will require the roles of Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, CHIP, and Obamacare to be trolled for recipients for PTSD, Alzheimer's, and ADHD. That means if you have ever been diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactive disorder, you're immediately going to be banned from buying a firearm. Also, too, it will list anybody that has had an unpaid traffic ticket under the category of a fugitive from justice, which is the second largest category of prohibited persons in the United States. There's a bunch of more stuff that I'm continuing to go through on today, so I'll keep it going. We'll show short, so I'd like to give you guys as much info as I can. This does not need to go through at all. I had a check on it Wednesday when I asked my buddy about it who was in the Army. He said absolutely not. Now Michael Snyder's getting this information with the Fix NICS. Put it this way. If Dianne Feinstein even breathes on a bill that's related to guns, you know 100% with absolute fact, the only thing it is going to do is restrict the American population's ability to own and keep firearms on their person or in their house along with the Second Amendment. So as soon as I read that she was involved in the Fix NICS addition onto this bill, that threw up a big red flag to me, Deb. But this is what they're trying to do. And he called it the other day. My Army body called. He said, as soon as you let the feds come in and start dictating state rights and state laws is when it comes to firearms, you're setting yourself up for a very, very big blunder in the future.
Very well reported, Austin. Quite frankly, Dianne Feinstein didn't do anything. That woman's got Alzheimer's so bad or senile dementia so bad, she's like a mummy in the doggone Senate. I mean, I have no idea what she's even... It's like a mummy, like a walking, talking, dead mummy walking around. I don't know how they're keeping her propped up. So she didn't do this. No, this is it. This was set up. This whole thing's been set up. I wouldn't even doubt that doggone church shooting was set up now in order to facilitate this by using that guy as an example. I don't believe anything these guys say. I go back to William Casey. We'll know we've done the job at the CIA when everything every American believes is a lie. I mean, that's how I look at all these guys. And plus, it's going to also give them a federal database, registered gun owners and basically concealed weapon holders who they can go then talk to and collect all of their guns whenever they want if the feds come in and decide to take over the country through martial law. I mean, that's what this is. Then they can have everything flagged out in advance, everybody's home flagged out, everybody's purses flagged out, everybody's DNA scan flagged out, and then know where everybody is with their doggone GPS on your phones and on your cars and on your OnStar and everything else to make sure they get your guns from you in the event that something happens. And here's how they get the guns. Here's how simple it is to get the guns like this. Now it's all starting to make sense. Okay, Joe Smo has a gun permit, and it's nationwide. And all of a sudden, the feds decide they want to start collecting on some of the guns and get these people off the streets. So Joe Smo drives to Georgia, and Joe Smo triggers one of their facial recognition cameras in Georgia on Interstate 75. And Joe Smo lives in Florida. All of a sudden, they pull him over because he's doing 3 miles an hour over the speed limit. All of a sudden, they flag him out because he got an unpaid tar parking ticket somewhere in his life. Or they say, well, we think you may be under the influence. You need to get out. And all of a sudden, they say, oh, by the way, you've got guns with you. We're going to seize the gun. That's how they do this. This is gun confiscation, guys. They got you. You're in the database. They catch you on the facial recognition camera. Now they've got you. They haul you off into a FEMA camp or wherever they want to send you, whatever they want to do with you. And now it's a lot easier to go to your home at this point with Joe Smo and raid his house because Joe Smo's already under arrest. And Joe Smo now has all of his guns seized at his residence. And so now they can do all of this very discriminately very slowly and not have a giant militia awaken saying, hey, wait a minute, no, absolutely not, we're not going to do it. So, guys, I hope that Donald Trump has enough sense not to pass something like this that Reagan did. And, oh, by the way, I want to say this real quick to you guys. I wrote an article about, oh, gosh, over 20 years ago now. It's called Aspartame, A Chronicle of Crime. In fact, the article I felt was so well written when we had finished it with over 75 clinical references, I actually used that as one of my chapters in my book, Maximum Energy, that was printed in 1999. They had some other information they wanted to use in one of those chapters that I did not approve, and so I deleted the entire chapter because I didn't like it, and I inserted the article that I had written, Aspartame, A Chronicle of Crime, that I had written back in the early 90s. Now, here's why I'm telling you this. The Pastor's Advisory Committee for the President of the United States, one of my friends is on it who is friends with Trump and who knows everybody personally in the White House. CNN turned around this week and did a whole show and had a medical doctor come in and talk about the dangers of drinking 12 diet sodas a day. And that person was a complete and total blithering idiot. If you're on my personal database, you'll know that I actually sent out her database and I said, this is the most inarticulate person I've ever heard. And I'm not going to repeat what she said. It was so stupid. It was just completely wrong. So my pastor friend contacted the Trump administration, the White House, and they asked him to send literature on what aspartame did to the human brain, and he chose to send the article that I wrote to the White House. So my article has gone to the White House now, called Aspartame, A Chronicle of Crime. So agree with me in prayer, guys, that Donald Trump sees this and reads this and is convicted by this. Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that Donald Trump gets this article, number one. I pray that he basically sees this article and he acts on this article and he changes his lifestyle and stops drinking these diet sodas. Father, I know that aspartame is a brain entrainment molecule. We know that. We know that there's an aspartic acid receptor in the brain. This has all built. It releases dopamine. So, Father, I pray that he gets convicted of this and that he no longer wants to drink the diet sodas. He gets off of them, Lord, and he can get his mind back, stop slurring his speech, and start making good, better decisions for the country and for the world as a whole. Thank you, Father. I appreciate it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I always want to do that, guys, because when I feel I need to pray, we need to pray. We need to do it then. By the way, I'm going to say I covered this story the other day. I'm going to say part of this again because it's being reported repeatedly and more people are writing stuff on it. We covered it last week. It said DARPA can exterminate humanity. You could possibly wipe out the entire human race. One of the most dangerous experiments that mankind has ever embarked on is the DARPA's desire for gene drive technology. Scientists now have the knowledge and the tools they need to create and deliver doomsday genes which can selectively target and exterminate an entire species or race. According to Sputnik News, the United States' highly secretive advanced military research, DARPA, announced it will invest tens of millions of dollars into genetic extinction research. Now, guys, I want to cover this again because this could wipe out white people, black people, German people, Russian people, species, subspecies, you know, different races, sexes, everything. I mean, this is bad technology, and quite frankly, we're giving it to a complete and total rogue. Well, first of all, we're not giving it to anybody. They already have the technology. They're saying they're working on it. Whenever they tell you they're working on stuff, that's their little way of telling you it's already done. And they're probably going to release it into the civilian sector now for mass distribution and mass development. That's how these guys do this stuff all the time. I see it over and over and over again. But I want to cover that one more time. Okay, what's your next story, Austin?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, also, too, in other news that I think is I've had multiple people email about this because it happened in Florida. So I want to do a little bit more research and detail on it because what we're starting to see now is crimes or issues or anything that happens related towards Muslim individuals is now being considered pretty much a hate crime almost on every level, when a lot of times any incidences with other races or even religions is essentially goes untouched. The individual was Michael Wolf, who is 37 years old now and will be serving 15 years minimum in a state prison, followed by 15 years probation for basically vandalizing an Islamic society mosque in Titusville. Now, the issue with this, because a lot of people ask me about this, and of course, right off the gate, you know that's incredibly excessive. Now, I did find out in 98, he did go to jail for burglary of an unoccupied dwelling, which is like a year. 2004, he got charged again with grand theft, and in 2011, he had burglary of another unoccupied dwelling. So this guy had a rap sheet on him. However, when the charges first came out about the mosque, his individual basically went to a mosque in the middle of the night. He broke out like three lights on the outside. He smashed like two or three windows on the side of it. It was like $1,500 in property damage. So, and even with his rap sheet, those charges would have probably been another 2 to 3 years max in a state penitentiary with probably another 2 to 3 years probation. What he did, when he broke the windows out, he went ahead and threw a bunch of pieces of uncooked bacon inside the mosque. So what they did was, instead of charging him with basically vandalism, breaking into an unoccupied dwelling, so forth, they turned around and they charged him with felony hate crime because he vandalized the mosque, and it was a hate crime enhancement, turning it into a 15-year prison sentence with 15 years probation. Now, I'm not a fan of anybody that vandalizes stuff nor breaks into anything nor steals stuff. I've had things of mine vandalized and I've had things stolen, and it's an absolutely horrific feeling, and I think this guy needs to go to jail, and he definitely needs to have a very solid sentence for this type of behavior. However, using the ideology of somebody throwing bacon inside of a mosque and turning that into a Muslim hate crime and giving them 15 years in prison for petty vandalism along with 15 years of probation afterwards has nothing to do with what he did with the crime or his background or his prior rap sheet. It has everything to do with them starting to enforce any incidences that involves Muslims or hate crimes, supposedly, I put that in parentheses, towards Muslims with unbelievably harsh, overzealous punishments, and that's what they've done now here in Florida. They've started a precedent with this individual now that now they will say any incident that happens, we're going to charge you with a hate crime if it involves somebody that's a Muslim, because they said bacon is banned from Muslims to eat it, which I don't argue with that at all. I don't eat bacon either. But because that's what they believe, and he threw it in the mosque, now it was a hate crime enhancement, and it bumped him up to 15 years in a federal penitentiary for petty vandalism, Dad. So I wanted to touch base on that because I've had a lot of people email me about it, asking me my opinion. So I figured I'd answer it on the show. And do I think this guy needs to go to jail? Absolutely yes. Do I think he needs to spend 15 years in jail for petty vandalism and because they want to throw bacon in the window? It's a hate crime towards Muslims now? Absolutely not. But I wanted to bring that up today, Dad, because I've gotten so many emails on it.
Let me share how I feel about this. Guy's a career criminal. Obviously, he's still breaking into stuff and stealing stuff. He would probably, in the state of Florida, you know, three strikes, you're out pretty much anyhow. He'd have probably gone to jail for an extended period of time regardless. The hate crime basically is something that is kind of ridiculous, but is part of their religion as far as pork. Some of it is in the Jewish religion. Ann Barnhart, I know her. I interviewed her on the Power Hour three or four years ago now. I interviewed Ann, and she actually took a Koran and stuck bacon inside of the Koran. I mean, on a video, and told them to come kill her if they want. She gave out her address and said, come shoot me and kill me if you like. I'll be here waiting with my shotgun or something like that. And so that's what happened with Ann, but she didn't get charged with any kind of hate crime. But the reality is, guys, is that we're becoming less and less tolerant of people who say things against other races or religions that basically is inappropriate as far as the government is concerned, as far as not being politically correct. So I've got to agree with Austin on this. This guy's a career criminal, should have gone to jail, should have probably stayed in jail. But the reality is this, they're using him as an example in the aggregate to try to tell people, look, you're not going to do this to Muslims, because they're bringing in millions of Muslims, and they want to make sure that the millions of Muslims, you know, don't have hate crimes, you know, issued against them, but they're provoking us with the Muslims, doing what they can to stoke up the hate crimes of the Muslims because of how they're integrating them forcefully into our society. So guys, it's an interesting world we live in. And again, that letter back to Mancini from General Albert Pike saying that there are going to be three world wars, and the third one's going to be the Christians and the Zionists against the Muslims. This is what they're trying to provoke right now, and we have to keep the eyes on the ball, because all of this is about eugenics. All of it's about population reduction. That's why I just brought up what DARPA was doing. Again, it's all about eugenics and control. Because remember, I'm going to say it again, they don't like white people. You know, they really, really don't like white people for some reason. I guess it's just because I guess white people stand their ground. I guess I don't know what the deal is. I don't understand. I mean, I like white people. I like black people. I like Hispanic people as long as they're patriots and they love God and love Yeshua and you know, and love the United States of America. I could care about what color or what race they are. It makes no difference to me. All I know is this, is that for some reason it's targeted now against the whites. So it's crazy. By the way, mainstream media is now urging parents to give three-year-old children dangerous drugs for depression. I don't even know what to say about this, because it's been going on for a while, but I'm going to read you a little bit more about this. Big Pharma's subtle propaganda comes in many forms. Those turning into mainstream media programs will be subjected to nightly advertisements now, many of which feature highly addictive and dangerous antidepressants, but a recent story warning that three-year-olds could be suffering from depression and should be evaluated by doctors if they can be put on the proper medication is unbelievable. The NBC's feature story on depression used scare tactics and is entitled to imply and suggest a national depression crisis exists among toddlers. You know, I don't even know how you can make stuff up like this. A generation at risk, America's youngest facing mental health crisis, 2 and 3-year-olds are mentally ill. While the nation is facing an opiate crisis caused by Big Pharma's highly addicted to production and the distribution out of Afghanistan, Americans are now being told the nation's toddler and children are mentally ill. I mean, guys, this is crazy to me. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that 1 in 5 American children ages 3 through 17, about 15 million people, have diagnosable mental, emotional, and behavioral disorders in a given year, and they should be medicated properly with antidepressant drugs or whatever is necessary. The NBC article quoted Dr. Harold Koppelwitz, who is famous for advocating psychotropic drugs to children. Aside from being an outspoken advocate of mass medicating of children, Koppelwitz co-authored one of the most harmful studies ever to be published by GlaxoSmithKline, which led to the deaths of countless children via suicide. Guys, it's so important that you understand that these drugs contain black box warnings on them that tell you that they should not be used with adolescent children because there's a very high probability of them killing themselves. This is why so many children commit suicide on these drugs. I mean, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids are killing themselves. I mean, this is insanity. And we want to give more and more children. Now, you say, well, these kids may have a psychological disorder. It's probably mercury poisoning or aluminum poisoning, and their brains aren't working properly. And quite frankly, toddlers aren't the most stable people on the planet to start with. They're toddlers, 2 and 3 years old. How in the world are you supposed to find out how you're supposed to medicate these kids? It's nonsense, guys. So just be very, very careful and don't pay any attention to those stupid commercials, and warn your friends not to also. And remember to tell them, black box warning, kids commit suicide on these products.
Yeah, it still boggles my mind, because if you've ever, and I'm dealing with one that's basically turning into a toddler, that's why I know, with a 19-month-old son, they're all over the place, man. They do all kinds of weird stuff. One minute he'll be crying about not having enough water in his juice cup, the next second he's laughing hysterically because he thinks it's funny when the wagon gets pushed into the grass. They're toddlers. They're children. This is what they do. They have all types of different emotions up and down all the time. They're unbelievably energetic on a regular basis. It boggles my mind now how these doctors with a clear conscience, which honestly they probably don't have a clear conscience, can turn around and put some of these kids on such heavy medication, Dad, and their brains aren't even beginning to finish developing. I mean, they're just at the starting point of developing and seeing how their personality is, and everything starting to work together to create them as they start to grow and get older, and their personality and everything begins to mature. And putting on these kids on these medications all the time is so creepy to me. It really is, because I feel like we already have, well, we do. I don't feel like, I know we are. We have pretty much the highest pharmaceutical use of any industrialized country in the world, yet we also have the worst health and highest infant death rate in the world, yet we have the highest vaccine usage in the world. None of this stuff is coincidence, man. This stuff all goes together in line with what we're seeing, and it's a very, very specific plan that's being laid out to get the numbers lower and lower and lower. If you've noticed that, they're trying to get kids younger and younger and younger into Adderall because they have ADD when they're 5 years old. Of course, a five-year-old is hyper. So we'll label them attention deficit hyperactive disorder. Put them on Adderall now. This is what they've been doing, and it's gotten really bad over the last 10 to 15 years. You know, back 20, 30 years ago, nobody was putting kids on medications, really. It's very rare. Maybe Ritalin, rarely, stuff like that. But now it's like as soon as a kid has any problem, as soon as he's emotional, as soon as he's aggressive, as soon as he's wild, as soon as he's energetic, oh, he's on medication. He's got this disorder now. Oh, he's got sleepless leg disorder because he moves around in his crib. Medication. Oh, he's got this. Oh, he's hyperactive now. Oh, he cried about this. Oh, he's depressed now. It boggles my mind. And the problem is a lot of these parents just go along with it. And they go, oh, that's what we need to put him on? It's so crazy, and this isn't related to a kid, it's a younger adult, a kid younger than me, that called up our office. I was talking to Steve about him the other day, and Steve talked to him, and he basically had an issue with his cholesterol already. And he said he eats, you know, fairly decent, but he still cheats some, and he's got a decent diet, and he's in okay shape, so he was right on average. So Steve said, okay, we'll try to clean up your diet a tad bit and go on the Cholesterol-X and the Vascular Relaxin. Because the doctor was wanting to put him on statin drugs already. Very young age, already wanted to put him on statin drugs because his cholesterol is out of whack on his first range. And he goes, hold that thought, doc. I'm going to go talk to health masters. I listen to them all the time. And I want to see what they say. So he called us up. We put him on the Vascular Relaxin and the Cholesterol X. Went to the doctor, got labs done again, got blood work drawn 30 days later. Cholesterol, perfect range. Perfect range. Doctor goes, well, your cholesterol's back in perfect range. How'd you do that? He goes, well, I've just been kind of watching what I was eating. I took these two supplements from Health Masters. Doctor goes, okay, well, one thing we have to look at, though, is your TSA, your thyroid stimulating hormone is slightly low. It's supposed to be like 2.5. You're at like 2.3. So where do you want me to call in your medication for your thyroxine? We got to put you on T3 immediately because your T3 is just too sluggish. And he goes, hold that thought, doc. Let me go talk to Health Masters again real quick. So he calls us back and he goes, my thyroid's slightly sluggish. What do I do? Put him on thyroid support and put him on potassium iodine. He just ordered that last week. He's going to get labs pulled, blood drawn again in the 30 days, and he's going to get, you know, his report back. And I'm pretty much 99% confident that his thyroid levels are going to be very well within range because of how strong that thyroid support is. But that's what we encourage everybody to do. Use your brain. And our listeners are so good about that because I get so many emails all the time from you guys, this and that. But encourage people that don't listen to our show, family members, friends, encourage them to do your own research. Even if they don't want to call us, send them an article or try to give them information on supplements that we have or just better healthy lifestyle tactics in general. But you have to get the information to them. You have to educate them in this because the education level on health and nutrition and supplements is getting lower and lower and lower when in reality it should be getting higher and higher and higher because of the access that we have now with the podcasts like that me and Dad do every single day for you guys, Monday through Friday, with the internet, with the website that we put all kinds of different articles on there. It's so easy now that there's no excuse for America's health to be in the gutter through our pharmaceutical usage to be the highest it's ever been. Every year keeps getting more. The vaccine rate continues to go up. There's no excuse for that, guys. We have probably the best country in the entire world, and we have to make it great again, as Donald Trump said with his slogan. And there's so many opportunities and ways to do that, and we're here to help you guys, and that's what we love doing. So that's just kind of my rabbit trail off that earlier, Dad, but I just wanted to add that in there.
Well, that's good. But also remember, this young man was working with his medical doctor. His medical doctor approved. He did with us. His medical doctor approved him being on the protocol that we suggested. So that's the best way to do this. If you can get your medical doctor to work with you as far as doing a natural protocol, that's the best thing to do. Guys, don't ask us to diagnose you and prescribe and all that because we don't do that at Health Masters. But what we will do is work with you and your medical doctor, if you can be a liaison, and figure out a natural protocol to follow to stay really, really healthy all of the time, guys. That's so important. By the way, Bubble Boy Rubio, gay Bubble Boy Rubio, senator from Florida, is now defecting and threatens not to sign on the GOP's tax bill because he wants to have additional tax credits for low-income parents, and he's putting a speed bump in the GOP leaders' drive to push their big tax package through the Senate. Guys, this is what's happening. Right now, the Republicans have a razor-thin margin in the Senate, closer to the edge. This is why they don't want Judge Roy Moore in there, because they know that Senator John McCain's about to be dead. They know that. There's no doubt about that. He's about to check out. He has a Galil brain tumor. He's coming to the end of his 6 to 8 months now, and it'll be over with pretty quick with him. He's already in the hospital. So now they know they got this Democrat, supposedly, but this election's under being contested right now in Alabama, so they're doing everything they can to shift it back up again. This is what they do because they've got to maintain the bipolar, the hot, the cold, the positive, the negative, all of the time to keep us entertained so we don't see what they're doing to us. Now, yesterday, Chuck Baldwin wrote an email, a column, and he hammered the Republican Party, the GOP, because of what they did to Judge Roy Moore. I'm going to bring Chuck on to talk about this because this is an excellent column he did, but I'm going to read part of it to you right now. It says, this column is called Republican Swamp Drowns Judge Roy Moore. You know, this is interesting. This is what Chuck said when he defeated the establishment Luther Strange in the Alabama Republican senatorial primary election. This is what Chuck said. You can bet that the establishment is not finished trying to destroy Roy Moore. Not by any stretch of the imagination. When Trump stumped for Luther Strange, he said that Judge Moore would have a hard time winning the general election. He said that because he knows that not only will Roy Moore have to defeat the Democratic establishment, he'll have to again defeat the Republican establishment. So Roy's fight is far from over. Mitch McConnell and his fellow Republican swamp creatures spent over $30 million trying to defeat Judge Moore in the primary. Let that sink in, $30 million. Of course, this past Tuesday, Judge Moore lost the election. However, it was not the unfounded accusations of sexual impropriety that sank Judge Moore. It was the Republican Party in Washington, D.C. If we really knew the truth, we might learn that Mitch McConnell and company were the ones responsible for instigating the Washington Post story about Judge Moore's alleged sexual misconduct. Let that sink in. Chuck Baldwin is saying that the Republican Star Party probably started the Washington Post article against him having and asking out young girls. The accusations against Moore surfaced almost immediately after his primary election victory, and the entire Republican establishment turned against him, from Mitch McConnell to Paul Ryan, who, by the way, is quitting after this term, to John McCain, to Lindsey Graham, to Steve Daines, to Mitt Romney, to Ted Cruz, to Richard Shelby. They all denounced him. And they left him basically unfunded from the Republican Party. In addition, after campaigning ferociously against Moore in the primary, Trump remained mute on the sidelines until the week before the general election, even though he did not campaign for Judge Moore in the Senate Alabama race, as he said he would do. At a collaborating established media that carried the accusations against Moore incessantly right up to Election Day. But make no mistake about this fact, it was the Republican swamp of which Donald Trump is a part that sunk Judge Roy Moore. And quite frankly, he's absolutely right. And he goes into detail, you can read this entire article if you'd like, about what they did and how Moore worked with Chuck Baldwin when he was in Alabama on the court there in Alabama. Guys, it's important to understand that this swamp, this globalist swamp, covers both sides of the aisle. This partisan politics, this I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, this stuff has to stop. Both of these parties are in the same exact mold now. They're both doing the bidding of the globalists and Kissinger and the rest of them. When the neocons came in, the neoconservatives, these were ultra-liberal Democrats that converted over to the Republican Party under Reagan. These are, quote, neo or new conservatives. They came in to infiltrate the GOP and to basically force it towards the middle, and they were going to force their own party towards the middle so the swamp creatures could do whatever they wanted to do, whenever they wanted to do it, however they wanted to do it, because they can control both sides of the aisle. But they keep the American population thinking, you've really got a choice. No, we don't. Trump has not done what he said he was going to do. He's done a few things, but overall, with what he's done with the Food and Drug Administration, or some of these other appointments, and all these Goldman Sachs people, he has not drain the swamps. Guys, stay with us on this. We'll keep you posted up on all of this stuff. But guys, we've got to continue to keep everybody's feet to the fire throughout the United States as far as in these races, because guys, we've got to clean house in Washington. These people that have been compromised through infidelity, through pedophilia, through drugs, through financial impropriety, and a plethora of other types of unimaginable sins that we don't want to talk about on the show, are basically being controlled by the deep state to do the bidding of the deep state. And John McCain now is on his way out. Now we have all these other people, like Ryan, on his way out. Now we have Judge Roy Moore not winning the Senate. All of this is to try to stop the little bit of work that Donald Trump can do when he's trying to work with some of these organizations, guys. They don't want Donald Trump cleaning out the swamp. And quite frankly, Donald Swamp hadn't done much of a job as far as cleaning out the swamp yet. Austin, what do you think?
No, unfortunately, you're right about that. I saw an article today from Christian Journal, and it said the Trump administration is now renominated to keep a radical LGBT activist lesbian, Chai Felbert, in place as the commissioner of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC. This shoe is a holdover from the Obama administration. Felbert is credited with spearheading and implementing much of the former administration's radical gay and transgender policy agenda. Family Research Council's Tony Perkins called the renomination a total shock. He said, in a shock to conservatives, the Trump administration wants to give one of the most liberal LGBT activists of the Obama years another term, he said on Wednesday. Based on the last 6 years, Felbert has not earned any of our trust or another chance. When she was asked about the rights of Christians hiring employees of their choosing, she replied, gays win and Christians lose. That's
right.
In complete contrast with President Trump's beliefs and stated objectives, which leads me to believe he was not briefed on Felbert's activism or involved in her nomination, he added. Why in the world has Trump renominated the Obama administration's leading LGBT activist again to the EEOC? There's two options there. He either really didn't know about it and was not briefed on it, which I truthfully don't believe, or he was told that she gets renominated because we have a specific agenda that we're trying to push regardless of who's the figurehead in the president's seat, and she stays, and that's the final discussion on it. That's how I think a lot of this stuff is going on up in Washington right now. Once you understand that the deep state and the black ops and the CIA are what really run this country. They run the military-industrial complex. They fund DARPA. They continue the ever-continuing drug war in the United States and throughout the entire country. They continue through ATF running thousands and tens of thousands of machine guns and heavy weapons to the Mexican drug cartel and to ISIS members or whatever name you want to label them next decade. They'll be the same individuals, the same groups, under a different name. Best believe in another 5 to 6 years, there's going to be some other wild radical Islam Muslims that just happen to keep getting tens of thousands of U.S. military machine guns and heavy weapons out of the air, literally. That's what's going on. So for the fact that this lesbian was renominated into the EEOC really bothers me. But again, it's like Dad just said, the swamp monsters in Washington are alive and well, and nothing is being drained at all as far as what I'm seeing. A lot of the stuff is being replaced with the same type of people, or in this case, the same people, and in some cases even worse, like with Gottlieb. So we have to keep watching this stuff. We have to do the best we can to keep these guys under pressure to not do this stuff. But as far as what I'm seeing, as Dad just said a minute ago, the swamp's not getting drained at all.
Well, that's not. By the way, Julian Assange just warned of a deep state coup meant to install Mike Pence. I guess Donald Trump, in his effort to drain one or two people from the swamp and undo some legislation, they want to put Pence in as quickly as possible. And Julian Assange just warned that they're trying to install Mike Pence as president. In a tweet this morning, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange made a precedent observation and an ongoing deep state coup against basically Trump's trying to be taken out. Here's what he said. Trump's political capital has been largely and openly looted for months now by the GOP, the CIA, Netanyahu, here it comes, Goldman Sachs, etc. The game is clearly to extract as many unpopular positions as possible, i.e. tax cuts for the super rich, which is what this whole tax thing is, push the resulting political corpse to Mueller and install Mike Pence. So what they're doing is they're trying to push the corpse that was Donald Trump, and this is when they kill him as the president, and put in Michael Pence, who's a full and total globalists. So guys, we gotta hope and pray that Michael Pence doesn't get in. He won't be as bad as Hillary was, but guys, as you can see, Donald Trump is having a very difficult time as far as trying to get changes in Washington because it's so stinking corrupt, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what's going on. But I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all. I really think that is happening. Assange gets a lot of intel. I mean, he's got all kinds of contacts all over the world. And I think it's been going on since Trump even got elected. I think there's multiple different backup plans to try and get him out of the office. As I just said, a lot of stuff is not changing, but I think just for what he is able to do has slowed down the globalist plans tremendously just by him being in the White House. We already know from the beginning that Hillary was already primed and prepped to be in the White House through the globalists. We already know that she was their pick. That was the one. Trump came in and absolutely shook up the entire system, has never even been in politics before. And so they don't want him in there. They do not. They cannot stand him in there. And there's a lot going on with that, man. So the best thing that we can physically do is continue to pray for him and try to keep everything as positive around him as possible. Even also, there's an article from the other day kind of tying back into this. Judge Jeanine Pirro on Fox even called out a lot of what's going on in Washington, and she says there needs to be a cleansing at the FBI and the Department of Justice. She said it's on national television. It was pretty stout. I really wish this would happen. She ran down a list of individuals who have been dedicated to protecting Hillary Clinton and or destroying President Donald Trump, singling out Deputy Director FBI Andrew McCabe, FBI official Peter Strzok, and former Associate Deputy Attorney General Bruce Orr, former FBI Director James Comey, and Special Counsel Robert Mueller. He said, she goes, there have been times in our history where corruption and lawlessness were so pervasive that examples had to be made. This is one of those times. She said the FBI and Justice Department have too many political hacks embedded, individuals who have never accepted that the American people elected Donald Trump. She goes, I am one tired of investigations, politicians posturing. Something has to be done. The stench coming out of the FBI and the Justice Department is like that of the third world country where money and boys and clubs decide elections. It's time to take them all out in handcuffs. So I thought that was pretty good rant she said on there and calling a lot of these guys out. And I really wish this happened because she's absolutely right with the deep state involved with this stuff and the absolute corruption involved in the FBI with Comey and all these guys now. It boggles my mind that Trump has not been able to get anything done to get these guys removed out of there. But again, as we're just saying, when you only have maybe 10% of the people for you when you're up there and 90% of the people against you, that's a tough fight to fight. So we just have to keep praying for him, Dad.
That's what we have to do. By the way, 93-year-old woman down here in Florida, this is a horrible story. She was in a nursing home. And she refused to leave because she was so disoriented. She said, I don't want to leave. This is my home. And she was handcuffed and jailed because she refused to leave her care home. I mean, this is Juanita Fitzgerald from Lake County, Florida, was arrested on Tuesday after she said the National Church residents, the Franklin House housing community, had decided to put her out after blaming her for mold in her apartment. Police said that she was given notice of eviction on Monday but refused to leave the building the next day. According to the police report, she then told officers, unless you carry me out of here, I'm not leaving. And a Lake County Sheriff spokesperson said the deputy tried to connect Ms. Fitzgerald with members of her family and housing, but she refused. And she allegedly turned down an offer to stay with a nurse who worked there. The report states the officer attempted to escort out of the building. She intentionally slid down into her chair onto the floor and resisted the police, so they tried to pick her up. So I'm sure this 93-year-old will be 94 here in a few weeks. Will basically be charged with resisting arrest and assault on a police officer and will probably be held on trial. She's probably senile. And so when I see stuff like this and I realize that law enforcement have to do what they're told to do, guys, that's one of those things. Had I been a law enforcement person, I'd have said, you know what, I've got to walk away from this, you know, lieutenant or chief or whoever he's calling up. I can't be involved in this. I don't want to be part of this. They can hire private security to do this, but I'm not dragging a 93-year-old out in handcuffs and charging her with failure to comply and resisting an LEO and basically, you know, battery on an LEO. Are you joking me? This is where we've gone now in this country with this police state. By the way, on a more lighter note, this article says, self-itis is a genuine mental disorder. Psychologists have created a behavior test to decide whether those who post pictures on social media need help. So how do you know, how do you score? The term was first coined in 2014 as part of a spoof article, but now the researchers in the UK and India have confirmed that self-itis does exist. There are three categories: borderline, acute, and chronic, they say. Now, guys, I've got a friend of mine who married a woman who every time she went anywhere had to have her picture taken. If they went to a party, and Austin's laughing because he knows this guy too. And if they went to a party, this woman would start posing and demand pictures be taken of her. Everywhere she went, she sucked the air out of the room. Nobody could stand her because she was so self-absorbed. He married her. It was a horrible mistake. And after about a year, he said, I can't deal with this anymore. This lady wouldn't even pump her own gas at a gas station. And, I mean, she's in her 30s and wouldn't pump her own gas. If she couldn't get the attendant to pump her gas, she would call her father to come pump the gas. She was that messed up. Now, I've seen it one other time that bad. We were sitting at a hotel last summer. I was in Greece. You guys remember that. We reported live from Greece. And I was sitting at this hotel overlooking the Parthenon, this rooftop restaurant, and some woman actually took her cell phone out, and she literally took selfies by herself on this rooftop restaurant for probably 20 to 30 minutes until people all over the restaurant were actually laughing at her because she made such a fool out of herself. And it was ridiculous over and over and over and over and over again. And it was like a joke, but she wasn't doing a joke. Guys, be real careful when all you want to do is take pictures of yourself and post them on social media. You know, you got to kind of have to draw some kind of balance with the stuff. You have to kind of draw some balance. Guys, thank you so much for listening today. Have a blessed weekend. Have a wonderful Christmas season. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. I've really enjoyed the shows this week. There have been some really good shows. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. We have them in powder, in multiple capsules, and also in chewable form for kids. They're phenomenal, the best you can possibly get. And guys, thank you for your support. And more than that, thank you for your prayers and let you know that I continue to pray for all of you every day. I'll do the write-up, Austin. God bless you, buddy. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Yes, guys, and be sure, too, if you guys want to catch up on any of the purple sticks, grab some now while you can. We're trying to get some more made, get another pallet in, and we're having a hard time getting it. So we do have quite a few still in stock, but they're going fast. We have a lot of people buying the case lot that we have on sale now and also the three-pack. So be sure to check that out at healthmasters.com. And, of course, the Cortisol Buster is on sale, which is a great product for this time of the year. And be sure to check out our Eat Clean and Be Healthy cookbook that's also on the website at healthmasters.com. We appreciate you guys. We love you. Call us if you need anything. 1-800-726-1834. You guys have an awesome Friday night. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll talk to you again Monday as always.